hello, all you wonderful Lady Levin listeners, the LLLs out there in the world.
I like
this
that.
This is Jilly Hendrix, and I'm introducing the show 2 weeks in a row, so it's a really special 2 weeks for me.
Ow, ow!
I'm here with my two beautiful co-hosts, Greta Teitelman.
Hello.
And Lo Bosworth.
Hi.
And we have a very special guest today. We have my lovely sister, Jess Levin, who is the founder of Carrots and Cake. And for those of you that don't know, Carrots and Cake is a resource for businesses inside the wedding industry. It's a gorgeous website. You all need to go on it right now, carrotsandcake.com, and check it out.
It really is fabulous.
And Jess, I look at it when I just want to look at pretty shit.
Yeah.
Me too. And Jess, you just got married.
Well, not just got married, but
you got married recently. And I'm so curious. I want to hear about your wedding. I want to hear about your very large brain, but I also want to hear about
your wedding. My sister has always been extremely smart.
Extremely bright.
We were
always like, oh, that Jess Levin,
yes,
man.
Yes, because Lo has known Jess since, obviously, as long as she's known me.
Yeah.
So this is a fun episode today. So
and Jess, if all of you guys want to know, Jess is the reason why I know Lo and Jilly.
That's very true, too. I didn't even realize that.
Because Jess and my sister went to college together.
So technically, I'm responsible for Lady Levin?
Yes. You are.
We'll send you a percentage of our profits that we don't have.
Our very high
Just
profits.
Just kidding. Can't wait, guys.
All of the cash we're rolling in.
Yes.
Well, I'm really excited for today's episode. Jess is a fabulous, well-known, renowned entrepreneur in New York City and worldwide. She really stands out for being like a strong lady in the field, and she has a really interesting background. Carrots and Cake is such a cool site. I mean, I would love to hear about your business and how you came up with the concept. You know, just tell us the story. And you were working in venture capital before that, right?
Yes. So I started my career in VC working for a famed entrepreneur who is so prolific in the way he thinks about branding and investing. And I loved working with entrepreneurs, had every intention of staying in VC, went back to business school, which is how I ended up becoming an entrepreneur myself, not at all intentionally. I was sitting there in a lecture. They made us do a crazy case study on diamonds. I was no longer paying attention to the professor. I was on Harry Winston, Find Your Ring. But it was the first time.
That's a great website.
Yep. It was the first time that I started to look at the wedding space as an industry and a business and not just something that kind of all of our friends were doing.
Right.
It's easy to get lost on the front end of the industry and all the couples and the consumerism. But when you strip all that back, what's fascinating is there are 500,000 local businesses. And together, they're processing upwards of, you know, $60 billion when you look on just the wedding weekends themselves. And no one's really paying attention to those businesses. And so that's what excited me, not dissimilar from working in VC where you get to invest in brands and entrepreneurs and help people build their dreams. What I loved about the wedding space is there were all these entrepreneurs and there was an opportunity to build a resource that would help them build their dreams the same way that you would invest venture and money. You could invest resources and time and energy.
Cool.
So when you were in business school, is when you sort of started seeing the wedding market as being a market that you would maybe want to get into.
Yes.
And what I found when we had Katya Beauchamp, who founded Birchbox, she was saying that, like, she wasn't necessarily passionate about the beauty industry, but she noticed this, like, huge hole in the market that she could fill. Do you feel like you kind of saw the same thing there?
Same thing. I still tell people that first and foremost, as much as, yes, day in and day out, we're in the wedding industry, my business is entrepreneurs. And that's what I'm passionate about, is talking to that florist or talking to that mom and pop cake maker who's built an industry, or talking to photographers or property owners. One of our favorite clients is such an inspiration to me in that they started in events as a wedding planner, saw opportunity in hospitality and restaurants and venues, and built these conglomerates. And it's so inspiring to be around people that day in and day out, granted at very different levels, are building their own businesses. But that's a big that's a big part of what we do with Carrots and Cake, is really getting in and talking to the business owners, and that's what I get excited about.
Yeah. Carrots and Cake, I want you to sort of give the listeners
give
a great
explanation
of it.
But yeah.
It's so interesting that you managed to create a business that is both B2B and B2C. Like, that is really cool and unique.
It's one of our biggest challenges. Because you're talking to consumers on any given day. For us, the reason that we play both sides, really, is we saw the opportunity to work with the businesses. And I think that that's been a real distinguisher for us. And I think that's part of the reason we've been so fortunate in what we've built today, is because the businesses have embraced us. Mm-hmm. But when you have an industry like the wedding space, there also is the consumer. And you have to understand the consumer to fully be able to understand and help the businesses.
Right.
So you need to play both sides. I think the challenge is, in the beginning, you have to be strategic about your voice. And so early on with Carrots and Cake, we had to talk to the couples because we needed to use the consumer to help us get access to the businesses. Mm. And it wasn't until we had a little bit of adoption that we were able to fully start talking to the businesses, mm-hmm. in an unbridled way and say, hey, this is what we're actually doing. We're actually here for you. But early on with the site, we were really careful that every decision we made on the consumer, on the front end of it, we took a step back to think about, does this actually help the businesses? So everything on the B2C side is filtered through the B2B angle.
That's really cool. All right, so if I am a bride and I stumble upon Carrots and Cake, or I hear about it from my friend, what do I see and experience when I'm on the site?
Yes, so Carrots and Cake is a curated marketplace. What we've done is taken an editorial feature and put that as an overlay on what is actually a business directory. Hmm. Not dissimilar from what you would think about from like a One Kings Lane, where they have curated and editorialized their sales. But when it really comes down to it, you're buying furniture. Similar concept with Carrots and Cake. What you can do as a consumer that I think is pretty special is, when it really comes down to it, most decisions are made inside the wedding space offline. You're getting referrals for people. It's the most amount of money you're going to spend in any given moment. Like, people mm-hmm. spend insane amounts of money, and for our generation that so many people talk about, being millennials, being that we're the renting generation, we're not the buying generation, it's probably the most amount of money that a lot of couples are going to spend in their entire lifetimes if they don't buy a home. Hmm. And so because of that, making decisions becomes so important, but you want brand recognition with those decisions. And so what Carrots and Cake is a resource, so that if someone tells you, this florist is great, or I love this photographer, you want to see their real work. And right. so we exclusively feature real weddings. And so if you're getting married in Los Angeles or Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Cincinnati, you can hop onto the site, filter by a specific geographic region, and see all the real weddings in your location, and then start identifying resources that way.
Awesome. So then how do you structure your business so that you and the vendor make money? And what makes using Carrots and Cake desirable? Like, if I...
If you're a vendor, why would they go on? I know why, obviously.
But yeah, I'm wondering, like, why would I, as a florist in Oklahoma, go on Carrots and Cake? And then I'm assuming they probably give you a percentage of what they make? Or how does that work? I don't know.
So with Carrots and Cake, we have about 20,000 businesses on the front end of the site that have memberships and profiles and feature weddings.
So they're like registered.
They're registered.
Okay, cool.
And that's a complimentary membership. And so the advantage to that is, the number one driver of decision making when it comes to a couple is being able to have your real work out there.
Right.
And having a wedding featured, because that's a brand reinforcer. Someone can say you're amazing. Someone can hop on your proprietary website, but it doesn't feel as authentic as seeing your work somewhere else. So that's a great reason. Behind the scenes, we work with a hand-selected number of businesses and give them access to a suite of tools and services that help them do better business.
Like
marketing tools, PR tools, financing tools, transaction tools. We get a percentage of a membership fee for them to use those tools. Got it. That's how we make money. And so
if I'm like Greta's florist from Kansas City and my business is kind of I do good local weddings, but I need a little bit more. I'm like, okay, I'll pay X amount of dollars to be a member of Carrots and Cake and also to have this package where maybe they'll give me a little money. Maybe they'll help me with my marketing, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
And do you do that for equity of people's company?
No. So we do it. They give us a fee to have access to the tools. Right now we hand select those businesses and we look at it across a couple different things. So for us, we really wanted to create a business model that was symbiotic with the industry, which is a challenge inside the local space because for the longest time, it was a take model, meaning it was advertising. People Right. would sell advertising into a local business. And regardless if that local business saw an ROI or didn't see an ROI, the advertisers still got paid. Think about yellow books way, way back in the day. Those like paper books with
right.
phone numbers in it, just so that everybody remembers what those are.
No, I used to sit on them and I didn't have a booster seat. I used to sit on them at my grandparents' house.
Oh my gosh. They're used as firewood.
Like a diner.
I mean, fire starters.
Fire starters,
yeah. But so that was an interesting business model and definitely worked then. Now what we wanted to do is sell tools and services. So it's a very, we offer them something that they need. So it's not just a take model. And we hand select that right now because we work with businesses at the top of the market because that's my background investing in luxury. And those businesses need something a little bit more differentiated than a more mass market business. It's just a different game. The top of the market is doing fewer better. The concept that Kuyana, which is an amazing label, has really glorified is that it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to do quantity. It's about the quality of the work you do. Mm. And that's something that we subscribe to a lot. And so for our businesses, they typically have large revenues, longevity inside the space, a certain position in the market, and they're able to afford the services that we do because it makes sense for their business.
Yeah.
And you work with like also some of like the top vendors like the Four Seasons and Montage as well as like that high-end florist in Oklahoma.
But I would imagine that, you know, if I am the Montage, let's say, in Laguna, why do I need you? I'm already this landmark. I'm already this beautiful location that people want to get married at. Like, what good can you do for me?
So the concept of fewer better. So you might have great brand recognition as a property, but you might want to do a finite number of weddings every year. And so having the right wedding on your property with the right budget, the right clientele staying at your property makes that wedding weekend work much harder for you. It's not just about booking out every weekend.
Interesting.
It's about booking out the right revenue for that weekend.
Yeah, because if it's like a very high-end wedding, then those people will be like, oh, this Montage is great and want to come back on vacation there.
And they'll spend more money on the property.
And there's a trickle-down effect. And that's kind of really overarching how we think about our business is it's a strategic way to build smarter business inside the industry. So everything we do from the weddings we feature to the editorial cadence we create to the tools we build for properties, it's all about having a little bit more thought behind it so that the businesses have access to the ability to perform better, be smarter.
Right. Because I feel like, sorry, gotta go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, I just wanted to break it down because there are so many components. Like, your business is so layered. That, like, how many? So you have the membership side where I'm just trying to make sense of this in my brain, where I'm a business and I can pay X amount of dollars and then I get all these features.
So any business that has a wedding featured on Carrots and Cake has access to our complimentary membership.
Got it.
Which is totally free, gives you a little bit of analytics, and becomes a home base for you as a business owner.
Got it.
Anyone that wants to have what we call a better design profile, that is essentially a Facebook business page custom designed for the wedding space. People that typically opt for that are younger businesses inside the space that want to
need
use
exposure.
It as a brand tool,
got it.
Brand alignment, or ancillary businesses inside the space. So people that might not be doing weddings full-time yet, so might not invest in their own website or their own media, and so they'll use that Carrots and Cake business profile. Behind the scenes is where we have our hand-selected levels of membership, which is called Plus.
Got it.
That's where we deliver tools and resources. The reason we're strategic with those businesses is kind of like you said, there's a lot going on. It's not inexpensive, and it's about working with those businesses that are very much at the top of the market.
And when you initially founded Carrots and Cake, how much has your business model shifted from the conception to what it is now?
So it's definitely a learning curve. For us, it's always been about the businesses. and not having an advertising model, because for us, we didn't see that as sustainable. There's so many incredible businesses inside the space that do a really great job. If you want eyeballs, we're not the resource for you, and trying to compete on that level was never something we were interested in. Mm-hmm. As we've built, part of the reason we spent the first year and a half building the .com, building the brand, was to have the opportunity to get to know spaces and businesses inside the space and see what their challenges were so that we could build for them. And that's kind of the beauty of what starts to happen when you build a business, is like the first year and a half, you're throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Right.
And you're throwing as much spaghetti as you possibly can. The nice thing is when you get on the other side of it, what starts to stick, you start to lean into, and it becomes a balance where you're not only building for what you think needs to happen, but you also have to start taking a step back and paying attention to what the industry is actually telling you they need and find that balance. Because it's kind of like what Henry Ford said, that famous quote of where if he would have asked them, they would have said faster horses. But you can't just day one with carrots and cake, or with any business inside a local space, say, hey, we're going to fundamentally transform the way you do business. There has to be a little bit of, this is what the industry says they need, and this is what we also think they need, so let's start building and putting that together.
Mm-hmm. I remember walking down Prince Street with you, and you were first starting to work on this, and I was like, what is your business? And you're like, well, I can't really tell you, but it's in, has to do with weddings. And I was like, okay, cool. And here we are now.
I guess from like day one, starting your own business, what would you say that, like, who was the first person that you thought that you needed to hire? Like, how did you build that model of like which employees you needed? Because since your business is such like a unique space, you kind of had to come up with like different jobs for everyone to sort of do. It was like the traditional, like, I need this person, I need this person. So how did that all come about?
Trial and error. You really, anyone that says they have it figured out, you're really figuring it out as you go. I think my background in venture and the mentors that I had really taught me to value brand. So one of the first things that we did is we thought about building a brand. We wanted something that was not just going to be about a service, not just a company, but a brand. Because I believe that that is a differentiator for a lot of companies, where you'll look at concepts from fashion to technology, and people associate things with brand. The way that we associate renting a car for 5 minutes to take us from Fifth Avenue to 12th Street as Ubering, even if you're not using an Uber, you know, right. That's a brand name. And so having a brand was really important to us day one. Everything else, you know, you're building a website, you start thinking, you talk to web designers, you talk to engineers, you hire one engineer, you realize that they code in a language that is not the language you want. I mean, it's total trial and error. I would say that not even now with a team of 10 do we have it figured out. There's moments where I'm like, we should hire that person. Oh, we don't actually need that. Bring them in. I mean, that's what building a business is.
That's funny. I was having this conversation with my uncle the other day about how, like, you know you're powerful when you become a Kleenex, or you become a Q-tip, or you become, like, you know, we call it a Q-tip, but it's actually a cotton swab, and we call it a Kleenex.
By that? Like, Q-tip is the brand.
Oh, the brand. Sorry, I thought you were, like, saying a metaphor. I was like, what are you talking about?
And, like, Kleenex, for example, that's a Kleenex. It's not a tissue, but it's, like,
that's
the importance and the value. And Band-Aid.
Right.
Another amazing example.
Those are all things that you need or you're going to die.
Sure. But like then you have other things like, Ubering. You know, Ubering. Or
I need that or I'm going to die a lot of the time.
Or a lot of people say like you want like, I don't know, like a Coke to just reference like a cola.
Right.
If you will.
I mean, well, I think that's, if you're drinking anything besides a Coke, you got to get out of here.
There are Pepsi lovers out there. And
Pepsi
I don't know.
Sucks. And any cola, unless it's like some like orange, like rustic, I don't know, rustic cherry flavor or some shit like that.
I don't know why any of you guys are drinking soda at all, period.
That's true. Too much sugar.
If you're going, but if you're going to indulge, get a Mexican Coke.
Exactly. I have probably a Coca-Cola once every 3 months. All right, back to weddings.
I have a sort of question and a comment. When you were starting Carrots and Cake, Jess, and I learned what the concept was, I was totally overwhelmed, honest to God, by how much work you had to do. Because the concept of building a local directory nationwide is astounding. It's like creating the Yellow Pages. And I guess my question is, for somebody that has a big and difficult to conquer business idea, like, what would you say to them to, you know, give them some
Yes.
Motivation. Because like just that, what you did alone, like building that directory is insane.
Well, I can even say like Jess gets to the office at like 6:30 in the morning and is like never available because she's always working. So she works a lot.
Yeah.
I would have to say work a lot.
So I think, and one of my friends slash mentors slash the co-founder responsible for so much of our brand who I met in VC gave me a great analogy when we first embarked on this journey is that if you are a chef inside a restaurant, and actually, Lo, you would probably relate to this better. He was like, you don't worry about the entire dinner service. Worry about the plate in front of you. Mm. And for me, that translates into every day is a new day. And so you worry about what you need to accomplish that day. And you have long-term goals. But if you start sitting there and you look at everything you have to do, you would be totally paralyzed. And so instead, you break it down to, okay, great. We need to register an LLC. We need to register to do business in New York City. Maybe working out of the coffee shop with their spotty Wi-Fi isn't productive anymore. So now let's go get an office. And it kind of becomes a tumble effect. I read this article recently that I love that I actually just wrote in our business blog for Carrots and Cake about how success is a domino sport. And really what it is it's a long-term journey. The average person, it takes them about 10 years to actually be successful. And you look at companies and brands, whether that's a Warby Parker or a LearnVest, and if you really take a step back and look at those entrepreneurs, it's not just about the day they decided to create that brand. It's about everything they did leading up to that journey, whether it's the school, the relationships, the classes, what have you, the side interests. And it all becomes about pushing those dominoes over every single day, and every one of those dominoes propels you to the next domino.
I think that's great advice for any kind of work, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you just have a goal that you want to, you know, keep on working and get somewhere in your own career. Like, that rings true in everything that you do. And I think that patience, especially when you're hungry, when you're driven, when you have, you know, big dreams for yourself, patience is something that I think all of us can lack. I know that it's my biggest struggle patience.
Terrible at it.
And I recognize, like, if you focus on the day's task, then you'll actually complete it rather than, like, looking at all of your future shit that you need to get done. Like, it's not going to work out. I mean, this happened, literally, this was my day today. I sat staring at my fucking computer and I was literally just like, Greta, just work, just try and work a little bit. And then I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna walk my dog, I'm gonna get a coffee, I'm gonna get a water, because I just let the big picture just like really bog me down.
It can swallow you whole.
Know what,
yes, you think too big.
Like, one thing for me that always helps me out, not that anyone's really asking, but is, you know when you're like at the gym and you're on a treadmill and like the person next to you is running so you feel motivated, or you're in a workout class, I like to work around other people that are working. Because, like, seeing them concentrate is like, okay, like, I can concentrate, too. Like, this is cool.
I get so distracted.
You know?
When I'm, like, working on other people working, I'm staring. I'm watching the person eating. Socialize. I'm wondering what they're doing. I want to talk. I want to eat. I want to look outside. My ADD is, like, crazy. I need to be in, like, a white box.
See, I'm, like, nearsighted, so I can't see anyone far away. So it's like literally just what's in front of me. So I can't.
Girl,
get
that's why I wear my damn glasses. I should just leave my glasses at home.
That's very
maybe
true. Exactly.
Blind working.
Yeah. So Jess, what are some brands that you would say that really like inspire you, or really like kind of fit the same, maybe not the same model, but the same sort of like brand ethos that you guys try to strive for?
Yeah. I think from an aesthetic perspective, we were really inspired by Dean and Zuluka and what they had done, as well as Net-a-Porter, where if you strip back those brands, they're black and white, and they kind of let the content speak for itself.
Yeah.
Which was a big very philosophy true for us with Carrots and Cake, where we never wanted to be the expert in the industry. We never wanted to take away from the work that people were doing. We kind of just wanted to be
like a marketplace.
Yeah.
Home for it. As far as smarter businesses go, I'm really inspired, and I think we all are, by entrepreneurs and companies that are about empowering other people or other businesses. And I know that word empowering is so overused, but you look at companies that are really trying to give resources to industries to help make them smarter, whether it's as simple as a QuickBooks that's giving people accounting tools, or as complex as people giving engineering classes online. I think that all those kind of companies are really interesting to me. I also love companies like LearnVest and The Skim, where they're helping people be smarter in a way that makes sense with millennials and the way we all consume.
Cool.
Radical.
Radical. I know. I wish it was cooler in here. It's so effing hot.
Yeah, you guys, it's a hot summer's day. I know that from a lot of our other entrepreneurs that we've had on the show, like the Lola Girls, like the Birchbox founder, like Mimi Chang sisters.
Mm-hmm. Those dumplings are delicious.
Yeah. They all have MBAs, except for one of the Mimi Chang girls does not have an MBA. But other than that, they all have MBAs. What words of advice do you have for an entrepreneur that does not have an MBA in terms of starting their own business? Because I am in the camp that thinks if you are passionate about something and you're willing to work your ass off and do your own homework and learn and really just really work, you can have a successful business. You don't necessarily need an MBA.
100% agree. I think what MBA school did for MBA school, I think what getting an MBA did for me, and I think probably what it's done for a lot of entrepreneurs, although I can't speak for them, is it gives you the opportunity to take a step back and think about what you really want and gives you the freedom to explore other opportunities, other passions. I think a lot of us and other people I know that got MBAs and then started companies, they were on career paths. And if you're a really motivated person, you have tunnel vision. So even when I worked in VC, Julie laughs now, I was never around. I was a workaholic. It was not until I went to business school and took a step back and was open to opportunities, open to reading, more free time, the ability to explore other interests that I think you then stumble into entrepreneurship in a lot of ways. And I don't think that having an MBA or not having an MBA, my business school is going to hate me for that, means that, you know, you can succeed or you cannot succeed. I think it depends on what you're doing. I think some of the most successful people I know, whether it's founders like Alexa Von Tobel, who didn't finish at Harvard, or we had a company at Stern called Tap Commerce. It sold to Twitter for $100 million, and the CEO didn't finish at Stern either. It doesn't mean to say that had they graduated or had they not graduated, I think everybody's path is different. And like you said, I think if you're passionate and you want to put the work in, it doesn't matter. For some people, it's the right path. For some people, it's not.
Well, because I think that we all have these examples of like, oh, you can drop out of college and be successful, like Bill Gates and right. like, you know,
Mark Zuckerberg.
Well,
just kidding.
Did he drop out?
Yeah,
did he finish?
No.
He didn't finish. Well, like where you have those super, super lofty, like, crazy examples, and then you kind of have nothing else, like nothing really falls right. off. Then you have, like, you know, you read Richard Branson's like numerous autobiographies and he's a maniac and they're so inspirational, but at the same time there's something that is so
unrelatable
to it. Yeah. Exactly. So
well, and I think that's the case with startups even in general, is that there's some crazy stat and I can't even quote it, but for every successful company or for every unicorn, which is what the VC world calls those crazy companies that are worth a couple billion dollars, there's the other 99.9% failed. And so people glorify entrepreneurship right now. And I think one of the biggest things is you have to be willing to put the sweat in, and it might look glossy and rosy from the outside, but day in and day out, you're riding a roller coaster that in some days you have total control over, and other days there's no wheel and you're just, you know, going wherever the roller coaster takes you. And I think that's the thing, is that, yes, you can look at a lot of startups, you can look at a lot of companies, you can look at different people's backgrounds and think that that's the path. But the truth is, there's no path.
Right.
And I would argue that certain people that had they graduated from business school or not graduated from business school, or had they dropped out of college or not dropped out of college, they don't know that it would have changed the outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think as long as you are willing to feel stupid and look stupid sometimes, then you could be
entrepreneur. Then you could be successful.
Oh, yeah. Not to bring down the positivity vibes, but do you think that your business could be could you make it work in like the funeral industry, for example? That is something that's huge and makes a lot of money, and death is inevitable, and people mm-hmm. spend I mean, when my mom died, we spent as much money on my mom's funeral as we would have on a wedding. It's yep. like...
Greta, maybe that's your entrepreneur idea.
You want some help?
Well, but I think the flaw... I've seriously been thinking about this while we've been sitting here the whole time. I think that the flaw in the funeral thing, which is what we were talking about when Peggy was on the show, yeah. is that funerals, it is such a back to where you're from home business yeah. that now... people like that's it's very dated to have kind of big funerals now, and everyone's getting cremated now, and people aren't getting buried as much as they were. So what I'm just saying, it's not like the wedding industry now. It's yeah. not like the wedding industry.
Well, also, I just
feel like
appreciate the tangent.
Yeah, with funerals also it's like there's a religious factor. I guess there's religious factor to weddings, obviously, but like funerals, it's more. Maybe
no,
not more.
I think it's the probably same. The same.
I but I feel like
I'm telling you,
dies,
a funeral
you go immediately
and a,
to your like, you know, rabbi or like pastor.
I was
a wedding and a funeral. No, no, no. But the wedding and the pastor don't do shit to help plan the funeral. You need to ask them to like say a sermon or to
that's
like.
True.
I was under the impression that if you die, that like, and you go through a funeral home, they like do all the flowers.
Yeah,
like,
I thought
they
just handled it.
They can and they can't. I mean, this is where it's interesting because like you can go to a funeral.
God.
You can go to a funeral home and they have vendors that they work with and that they partner with, but then you can also say like we don't want these flowers, we don't want this and that. I'm just saying it's another industry that is very similar to that. To conclude my statement, it's just that, you know, funerals, weddings, not that different. There are flowers, there are venues, there is food, there
people
are people
cry.
Get after it,
there are
it,
locations.
Girl.
I'm just saying, not that different.
Well, there's like three big things in your life: your birth, your marriage, and your death.
Exactly.
I don't know. There are a lot of industries.
Maybe there's
funny.
Other things in
that's,
life too.
That's sunny.
Maybe a child.
There are a lot of industries
something.
Popping up around those moments, though. There's like whole companies around divorce.
Yeah,
now.
Of course.
Like
oh my god! If I get divorced, I'm gonna have
you.
A divorce party. You know Jack White and his beautiful model ex-wife, Karen Elson, they threw a party when they got divorced.
That's
okay.
good.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anyway, thank you for that very inspirational talk.
Anytime. Yeah,
my brain, like your business is so multifaceted that truly it was very hard for my brain to grasp. I'm not like, I feel like I'm like control alt deleting my brain trying to like fucking get it to grasp what you do, and I can't.
It's also so beautiful. So if you are getting married or you're not getting married, you just want to look at pretty
oh my god,
well, you're throwing a summer party and want I need a great table scape. Yeah,
but if you are sitting at work procrastinating, which yeah. is what I did all day, carrots and cake is quite possibly in my top 5 favorite websites to procrastinate on.
The other thing is like instead of obsessing over celebrities, just obsess over strangers' weddings.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
We're not sexploring today. Oh, yes, we are.
We're kind of sexploring. We're sexploring, I guess, like women.
It's women in the workplace.
Yeah.
Sexploring.
It's more serious,
today.
Honestly.
It's a serious, a super
just,
serious sexplore, a triple
let
S.
Just start talking.
Well, to put, I'm gonna just preface this
I mean,
whole
we should
talk
probably
by
ask
saying
her some questions
we're
too.
Talking about, you know, being a woman in the workplace. Before we started recording the episode, we were talking with Jess about, you know, what we all wanted to talk about, and none of us are feeling particularly horny because it's like literally 115 degrees today, and thinking about rolling around in the sheets with a loved one is not what I want to do.
We're probably burning calories though while we're sitting here.
I agree. Yeah. So. Jess was like, oh, well, I can bring up, you know, being a woman in the workplace, especially working in when you worked in VC, which is like a boys club. And, you know, the kind of treatment, what to do, what to wear, how to stick up for yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women experience total harassment in the workplace and don't know what to do. So
and the other thing, too, is just like. How to, like, make sure that you're still being yourself and having an opinion and doing you without having to feel, like, threatened by any men's advances.
Or feeling like you need to exploit your sexuality.
Yeah.
Right. I think the key is that you have to be comfortable in whatever environment you're in. And I think when you're working in an entirely male-dominated environment or you're the exception and not the rule, that you have to be a little bit more aware. And I think that's just the nature of where we are. And I think that comes with little things like we were joking about, you know, if someone wants to have a 7 o'clock meeting with you, maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you want to offer lunch instead. And just certain things that like you learn along the way, even about the way you're dressing and things like that. I think it's about figuring out, you know, who you are. And like Jilly said, like Greta said, towing that line between being yourself, but also being aware of your environment.
Yeah, and totally.
If you do experience harassment in the workplace, what should you do?
I have no idea.
Should you go to HR? I'm asking as a general question.
Well, you're
sometimes I feel like HR in some companies don't do shit.
I don't know.
You know, I worked at a talent agency for 4 years, and there was a lot of males, more males than women, that worked there. And there was always like a weird thing between like the older men and the younger women assistants and that sort of thing. But they have such strict rules about like flirting or dating or doing anything that there could never be like, if there was, you know, there's definitely like someone that you could speak to if someone was like treating you disrespectfully or that, and there was so much HR enforced that no one would ever be able to slip, you know what I mean? So I think that like, I guess, you know, can't speak for those companies that don't have like a strong HR department, but I do think that like if something like that's happening to you, definitely have to speak up. Obviously, you can't just ignore it. And I think the sooner you speak up, the better.
I think a lot of women endure some kind of sexual harassment at work because they're afraid that they could lose their jobs if they say something.
And yeah. I think that they think that, you know, a lot of these people that are getting taken advantage of and abused like this, it's like they dangle a carrot of success over your head, being like, oh, well, if you want this position, then like sleep with me, blah, 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 like getting propositioned and all of this shit. And it's like, no, don't. That's not OK treatment. And if you think that like that is how that. That is what you need to do in order to get ahead. Fuck those people.
But I would say just like save, if someone's texting you or emailing you, just save it. Or if there's a voicemail, save it. You know what I mean? Like,
get that trail. Get evidence.
I just mean like, yeah, if there's shit happening, like don't ignore it. I don't know. I don't really, I haven't experienced that personally, so I can't really speak, nor do I own my own business, nor do I even have, you know, any employees. But I will say that I've experienced that. DJing.
What did you do?
Nothing.
No, I know.
Really?
Really?
Well, like, I've had, like, a guy, like, touch me in the DJ booth, and I was like, no. But it's like, at that point, it's like, all you can say is, like, no.
I had,
you know what I mean?
I mean, yes, that's still, it's just scary. It's just scary out here being a woman. It really is. Like, we all have stories where it's been creepy, definitely, and awful and terrible. I was working a job once where one of the guys from the ad agency offered to pay me for sex at the end of it. And it's
what?
Like, yes.
What'd
yes.
you say?
Did I you laughed in his it? Fucking face. I mean, no, I didn't do it. But he told me that I would be compensated well and all of this shit. And I was just like, I looked at him and I was like, you're a joke. And I walked away. But I think that these situations are very serious, and like they really aren't a laughing matter, and they're really fucked up. And it sucks that as women we need to think like, oh, this 7 o'clock drink, is it really a drink to talk about my career and to talk about business, or is it a drink because you want to fuck me and you think that you can use your power to lure me into this situation?
Well, when we were raising capital for Carrots and Cake, I had a potential investor ask me to meet him at 10 o'clock in the lobby of his hotel.
What?
To
yeah,
pitch the
no,
business.
Thank you. See, this is a sign. And what did you do? How did you get out of it?
I said no.
And then what happened after that? Did you say no?
You don't want someone's money that thinks that way.
See, this is the advice is good.
If you have a good idea and you're successful enough, there's not going to just be one person. You know what I mean? So, like, for example, with you, you said no, and there's other people. It's not like that was your only opportunity. You know what I mean? It's a great business model. So it's like, I guess that's a great piece of advice. Don't be afraid to say no. If you think something's uncomfortable or someone just wants something for you, like, you know, inappropriately or sexually, just be like, no.
I hadn't thought about that for so long until you said that. That was really funny.
And this is what I mean, though. It's all these different situations. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're fucking Meryl Streep or if you're working at Wendy's. Like, these situations happen to all of us, and it's really shitty and hard.
I have one.
What,
Lo? I just remembered. When I was working at an agency, my boss, who was, like, a big agent, I would, like, put my cell phone in my back pocket a lot. And we would, like, you know, go out to lunch, like go to meetings and stuff. And he said to me one day, he said, "Sweetie, you should definitely not put your cell phone in your pocket, because like if you knew what your ass looked like without it, like you'd never put it in there again." I was like, okay.
That is so disgusting.
The saddest thing is with these situations, it's sort of like you just have to sit there and be like, okay.
Well, half the time it feels like too little too late.
That's not a situation where a guy's like necessarily like, you know, obviously they're crossing the line and they've said an inappropriate thing, but he's not going to get arrested for that comment. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's just where women need to like be strong and make sure that things don't go further than that like comment. You know
what I mean? But also report that shit to HR. If you have a good human resources division if you're working at a big agency, if you're working at a big company, these are supposed to be the people that are supposed to protect you and help you. I don't know. Listeners, if you have any stories of instances where you've had positive outcome or a negative outcome, any stories in general that you think would be good advice, all of us kind of don't really know, and we'd like to hear them, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think the key, too, is to have surround yourself with people you can count on and people you can talk to.
Yeah.
Because they help make you stronger, and I think that's the biggest thing, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're working in a company, whether you're building a business, you need to surround yourself with people, and it's a team sport.
Trust.
Life is
totally
a team sport.
So, Jess, thank you so much for coming on the show. You really are an inspiration to all of us. We finish every episode with a lady lovin', and we typically have our guest do the lady lovin'. So go for it.
So my lady lovin' would be the founders of The Skim.
Cool.
And what is The Skim?
The Skim helps make you smarter every day. And I think what I love most about their business is they make me feel smarter every day, because when you are building a business, as Jillie said, you literally have no time to do anything else. And they've now made it that in 5 minutes, I can know what's going on in the world, have relevant information, and they make me feel better about myself. So I love that.
Cool. That's awesome. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Maybe we'll have the founders of The Skim on the show.
I do like The Skim. I do read The Skim, and it's good.
Yes, thank you so much, Jess.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
This was so fun to just get to know you more than I already do.
And listeners can find Carrots and Cake at carrotsandcake.com.
Yes.
And on Instagram at carrotsandcake. Mm-hmm. Spelled carrots things. Like the amount of, like the ring size, not like the food.
Yeah.
CarrotsandCake.com.
All right, guys. Thanks so much
for listening. Have a great Monday.
To this week's episode. Subscribe to our podcast,
guys. Yeah, guys. And give us a like or a comment on iTunes.
On all the places.
Yeah, we would love to just know that you care about us, because we care about you.
Oh, and one last thing. If you haven't called your senator already about gun control, please call your senator. It doesn't matter where you live. You can go online. This is something that's really important to me, and I think something that really needs to change. So that's all I'm going to say.
Power to the people.
Yes, agreed. Love y'all.
Chat next week.
Bye.